First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next / BDE Elite.
The Super Show.
The Super Show, meaning not only are we recapping NXT and Dynamite on this very show, all in one this week, but first time in a long time, we are back, we are reunited. And we've already
gotten hungover. Hangover and jet lag is a nasty combination.
Nice cocktail there.
Regret.
Yeah. You've been back in the country for like 24 hours now.
Yeah, not even.
Not even?
About that now. Yeah.
And yesterday you came home and we decided we would hang out. We watched some Dynamite. You were back from your trip.
Yeah.
And then we were
gave
like,
you some prezzies.
Yeah, yeah. You brought back some great British snacks.
Yeah. Got your mushy peas.
You brought me mushy peas.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out Footy Scran. You brought me my mushy peas. I don't know what I'm going to do with them, so let me know, people. Good recipes, what to do with mushy peas. And for anyone who replies, throw it in the bin. I will not be accepting that. You got me some crisps.
Yeah.
We had some roast chicken and something flavored ones yesterday.
Yeah, could have probably done with eating more, to be honest, I think. Feeling it today.
You brought back a bunch of like British alcohol. You brought a duffel bag of alcohol, actually.
Well, I put it in the duffel bag to present to you.
Yeah, yeah. Duffel bag boy.
But yeah, got brought back six bottles. We tried most of them, didn't we?
Yeah, I
got some Belvedere, got some Sipsmiths,
Belvies,
lemon gin. We got a mango rum, pineapple rum, a passion fruit rum.
We're rummed out.
Hot cross bun flavored gin.
Yeah, that one's a strange choice, but it still tasted pretty good.
Yeah, and I regret everything ever buying any of it.
Yeah, you brought back. How did you even? Are you even allowed to bring that much back? Like you were
so
there.
So I had
for
three bottles in my suitcase that I bought like at a supermarket over there.
Yeah,
and then three bottles I bought at duty free.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm all right.
Yeah. I mean, you made it.
Yeah.
So you're here. You're back. You brought all these British things. Yeah. Thank you. We were drinking some last night. We did something we've never done. We have a behind the BDE coming out. By the time you're listening to this, we've probably are recording it, but we have the behind the BDE where last night after coming home from the bar, you decided to you decided that we had to record an intro for behind the BDE.
Yeah,
while we were, it was probably three.
We might need to edit a bit of it out.
Yeah, probably.
You were definitely trying to get some stuff out of me. You were being naughty.
I was poking the bear a little bit.
Yeah,
devil's advocate, talking about some romances.
Yeah,
and stuff.
You're being cheeky.
So we got to edit that out, probably. But yeah, behind the BDE coming out for World Champ patrons on the Patreon. I mean, you got to check out behind the BDE that was available to all patrons when me and Jordan Goodman explored the universe and chatted for almost 2 hours about absolutely nothing.
Sounds great.
It was fantastic.
Heard some good stuff about that show.
Yeah, critics are. Myself. Yeah, we're getting universal love from. We talk about Tony Schiavone's earrings.
Yeah,
monkey butts, aliens.
Nice.
Of course, you know we have to talk about aliens all the time. Yeah, so that's some stuff. This is our first show back since you've been back, though.
Yeah,
you being here in BDE.
Didn't have to give you a Zoom link.
Yeah.
Doing it in sunshine right now. It's lovely.
Yeah, we usually do this show at nighttime. So today it's like a nice little thing. We didn't even go live for this one. We're just too hungover.
Too hungover to deal with that. And my mic is somewhere buried in my suitcase.
Right.
So
well, yeah.
Still need to unpack.
Oh. But it's been a good... You're back? Are you happy that you're back?
I am, yeah. I'm not happy about anything at this second in time. But
right. Okay.
But no, I am happy I'm back. I had a good trip. 3 months was a nice time. Gave me enough time to see people and do lots of things, but was ready to come back. And it was kind of miserable yesterday. It was so cold.
It was.
I was like, come on, it shouldn't be like this now. But today's nice, so that makes me happy. The sky is blue. You've got the lake in front of us. It's gorgeous. So, yeah,
it
I
is
am
gorgeous.
happy.
It's pretty nice out. The weather was kind of good, but it's these weird cold days, and then like rain last week too. It's just whatever, but summertime's on its way, so yeah, you'll be all right. But you don't want to live in the UK anymore? You were done after 3 months?
Yeah, I definitely need to go and visit more than I have. Obviously, the pandemic kind of put a stop to that for a few years, but definitely want to visit more. But no, this feels like, I mean, they both feel like home, but this is where I'm meant to be right now in time.
In your life?
In my life, yeah.
That's right.
Talk about wrestling.
Hungover,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. You found we have our home, and yeah, we're in the BDE. We finally got our laundry machine fixed.
I know, in time. We've had the lights replaced.
I did it myself, and it looked like there was a death match because I dropped one of these fluorescent things. The old one, not like the new one, the dead one, but it shattered, and I like laughed because I was like, "Wow, this must be like
how it is."
Yeah. And then I cut myself shaving yesterday, so
yeah,
I felt
like Nelly.
Now I look like Nelly.
Is it still bleeding?
It's getting hot in here.
I feel like now you're just like, this is my look now.
A band-aid on my face. It just wouldn't stop. Like literally just before I was doing a little shave and, you know, my head and stuff like that. And just lining up the beard with like the behind razor, like the thing on the other end of it. And I nicked myself. I didn't really. I felt it like a little bit, but it just would not stop bleeding. So of course AEW was just about to start. I felt like it was like a proper time to be bleeding a lot.
Yeah.
But then it wouldn't stop. So I went out to the bar with a Band-Aid on.
We didn't have any blood on AEW yesterday,
just me. Just me. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You did it for them.
Yeah. Exactly. But yeah, you've been back, and we've already gone out to our popular.
Yep.
Watering hole.
It's fun. Saw some friendly faces.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was nice. It was a good evening. Just regret it. I can't mix. I shouldn't be mixing. That's the problem, Brayden.
Yeah.
Just got to stick to one thing.
Like what? Like
chill.
Like smoking and drinking or?
No, like just be like on the vodka sodas or the gin and sodas.
I was all over the place last night.
Or the beer. Yeah, me too. I was drinking rum. I was drinking gin. I was drinking vodka. Drinking Jack Daniels. I can't say the words.
Okay,
anymore. It's so, making me. It's bringing it all back up.
So someone we ran into a few people that we know. Yes, and people were like, "Hey, you're back!" And one of our buddies was at this bar on a date.
Yeah,
he decided that a good first date would be his local bar.
I that man fascinates me.
It's a very
why
bold
would you
move.
Do that? Yeah.
Imagine taking
it. It was working for him.
It was. At the end, they left.
They're in love.
They're in love.
Now. They're actually in love.
I literally heard her say, like, are we a thing now? I was like, damn, after the first date, and he just took you to his local bar that he goes to?
I mean, I guess you are a thing now if you've done that. That's skipping a lot of steps.
Yeah, wow. Because he told, I was like, hey, you know, Davey's back. We might go to Wide Open tonight. And our buddy is like, yeah, cool. I might meet you there after. I got a date. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, where are you going? The aquarium. And then when we got to the bar, I was like, how was your date at the aquarium? And he's like, we didn't go. We just came here instead. We've been here for 4 hours. Drinking. I'm like, damn, well, that's
making out in the tightest space.
So he was anyways, we made some new friends with his date. We made an old friend. We had old friends, but then people were buying shots, and you were like, "No, I'm too like I can't just be jumping back in and taking shots left and right." So the bartender was like, "Hey, you know, what about like a fruity not a fruity drink, but something sweet? You know, maybe what do you want? Something minty?" I was like, "No, I don't want anything super fruity. I don't want anything minty. I don't know." Then we decided on Banana Jack.
Banana Jack, yeah, Jack Daniels with a little bit of banana liqueur.
Yeah, it is fantastic.
It's nice. Yeah, I don't even like Jack Daniels. So
no, you don't. But think
I can't say the words Jack Daniels.
Jack Daniels.
My tummy's going like.
Yeah.
Oh.
Banana Jack.
Yeah.
Banana Jack all day.
I'm going to bed after this.
Yeah, Banana Jack is
the thing.
Is the new wave?
No, it's not.
It's really not.
We're not making that a thing.
I'm gonna have it.
I can't. Yeah, you can. Yeah, I just. Yeah. Oh. Because they don't do. Like, well, at least where I was working, no one was doing, like, big shots. So I wasn't, like, drinking tequila as much as I normally would.
Right.
They'd have, like, Jager bombs and things like that all the time, which were a little easier. And, yeah, and then paired with the jet lag, like, going out yesterday, I was just...
Oof. You were just beat up.
Oh, yeah.
You made it all the way till 2.
I don't know how.
Or 3.
We shouldn't have.
And then, yeah,
Disgusting.
We are.
I had to text the girl working last night and be like, "Did I pay?"
Which girl did you have to?
The other one.
Not the okay. Gotcha. Yeah, that's for behind the BD. well, it's good. It's glad to have you back. It just means I have to wear clothes when I walk around the house now.
Not if I'm in my room. It is somewhat freeing walking around naked because the windows are just so big.
Yeah,
and
did.
It's like you won't be able to make out my face from over there.
I did,
but you'll make out my no.
Yeah, my nose, my banana jack. Yeah. We have big windows in the BDE in our condo, and we can see in like to this other building. And when you were away, I was recording like a certain way with the camera and stuff, so I was looking almost out the window. And I would see, I mentioned to you, I think even on a show, I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure I'm seeing just some naked woman walking around.
Why wouldn't you be?
And then I saw like a bachelorette party one show. No, they were wearing clothes. They were wearing clothes. But I'm like, I'm not trying to spy on these people, but it's
big windows.
Yeah. I almost want to wave, but I feel like that would break like a barrier that I don't want to like just wave.
While they're
like,
naked?
Just in general, like anyone like, you know, either having their smoke or whatever, like you just don't want to like. I don't know. Maybe I do. Maybe you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Do whatever. Yeah. Be friendly.
Yeah.
Be kind.
We learn here on Up Next. Thanks for listening and checking us out. Of course, you probably found us whatever app you're using. We weren't live on Twitch, but we will start going live next week again. We'll go all on after NXT airs, so like 10:15 Twitch.
Yeah, back to normal next week.
And then Wednesdays as well for BD Elite and stuff there. And then, we're working on the May schedule for the Patreon, which we have some ideas. But we have so many shows out on the Patreon. Go give us a shot. But if you haven't tried us yet, well, May 1st is a great time to give us a shot because you get everything. You get a whole month of all the stuff, but you get access to all the past shows that we have in that catalog. But, yeah, can't wait to watch some more wrestling. Are you going to go back and visit the UK for the Cardiff show?
I don't think so. It depends what's going on. We've got to kind of figure out what's happening with All Out. It is my birthday yeah. that weekend, so it could be fun. But I'm thinking no. Not too interested in Tyson Fury versus Drew McIntyre.
Is that the match?
That's probably the match. But I think that will do well in the UK market because Tyson Fury is pretty huge over there. I mean, just won again last weekend. So I do see that being like quite a big thing for them over there.
Okay.
But I think I'd rather see where All Out is.
I mean,
I don't want to do All Out if it's at Hoffman Estates because I can't be bothered with that.
I don't think it will be. I mean, I've been saying I think it should be Toronto. A lot of people are thinking the same thing. If I say it, manifest it, it comes to life. Rogers Center.
It's here.
All Out.
Just outside the window. You see, literally that outside. Sounds like a good birthday.
Yeah, it's literally 4 minutes outside our door, which is great. The Rogers Center, the Sky Dome is awesome, but that's a lot of people. Like, don't know if they'd do that something that big, but that would be quite awesome.
I think they could do it.
Excuse me. You
know, sorry, just yawning away. How unprofessional.
Well, you know, I think it's going to happen. I hope it happens that we do just get a AEW pay-per-view. Here would be a good, great, big show for AEW in the Toronto market. And All Out would be, I know it's like it's been in Chicago all this time, but it would be good. And when to come to Toronto is a good time to come is the summer.
Yeah.
And that is still a great time to come. So,
oh, yeah.
I do hope it is. And then I didn't read the full story, I didn't listen to the show yet, but post wrestling, John Away. Mm-hmm. They were talking about, they mentioned it on their show, I think today or yesterday, about Tony Khan is actually going to be in Toronto in June.
Oh.
Again, just down the road from our house, speaking at some, I don't know, like business.
Well, his dad has a hotel here, doesn't he?
Yeah. His dad owns the Four Seasons, I think, here. So I'm going to get my brain around that it's fucking happening. He's coming here to sign on the dotted line. No, I guess after Double or Nothing, they tell us where it's going to be. I would imagine they air a commercial.
I would assume at Double or Nothing or at the June pay-per-view, the Forbidden Door, they could announce.
True.
But I think we'll find out soon. But if it is back in Chicago, that doesn't rule out like full gear being over here.
True.
The Dome does have a roof, so you can do it enclosed, can't you? And
I mean,
fill it up.
Yeah,
but I just think September's a nicer time to be in the city.
100%. Like, hey, Toronto's beautiful all around, but it can get cold, and people won't want to necessarily.
Although they did it in Minnesota.
They
didn't
in Minnesota. So, they don't care. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Jackets. People wear jackets, hats, toques.
Yeah.
I do think if they were to come, the Rogers Center might be a bit too big. So, like, realistically, the ACC, the Scotiabank Arena.
I think they could do the dome. I think, like, they've had Roars there before. They've had Nitros there before. And they'd, like, section it off.
Yeah.
It depends, like, if it costs a lot more than the arena. I think they'd want to do it because WWE hasn't done anything there for so long.
Sure.
And because the Scotiabank is such a regular place for WWE at this point. I think they could dress it up more interestingly, and like if it is, it could just be for a Dynamite, and they could brand it like they have for
big Dynamites.
Like Grand Slam and things like that. But I think they could do like 30,000 in there, which would look pretty full.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I do think if you were to do a big, like, look, they did that Grand Slam and they could be doing that again, or they could not be doing it and do that instead. Like the Grand Slam could be Toronto. Grand Slam, like instead of, maybe we're talking nonsense with this All Out stuff, but this is just, again, this is all just speculation and being fans. You, if you're doing a big match in like the Sky Dome, you need a big match you need your Kenny Omega versus Danielson that they did. You need, I think you would, they would be doing CM Punk, Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
I think that would be the main event of All Out. But that would be pretty big.
Yeah.
I think people would want to go and travel for that. But
well, I think that's why pay-per-view would make more sense than a Dynamite.
Yeah.
Because you can do that weekend thing. It's Labor Day weekend. You can go to the X during the day, can't you? And go on.
You could.
Yeah. Have some of the food in the X.
The Canadian National Exhibition. That's
and
right.
And then head off to
this is true. Out. Yeah, imagine. If we believe, it'll happen. If you
manifest,
what is it? If you build,
so many of our listeners all over the rest of the world are like, I don't care.
Yeah. Why would I care? I just watch it on TV. Yeah, yeah. We want to go to these things. It sounds good, but yeah, super excited if they do bring a show. I mean, I can't wait for NXT to go on the road. They need to do a show.
They do
2.0 in Toronto.
Yeah, let's do it.
Where would you do that? The Sweaty Teddy,
Coca-Cola.
Yeah. They've done WWE. Done stuff there, did WWE like
the Coliseum
a month ago.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I don't know if NXT is going on the road quite.
I think it would be good for them to do the odd thing in a small venue. I'm not saying like the Scotiabank big arenas, but I think it would be good for them to do like they used to do with NXT. They do like when it was what like the Arnold Classic and things like that. They'd go to the road and do some tapings elsewhere. I think that would be cool. I think just changing. I felt the look of this before they went to the colours as well. Just to change a setting every now and then would be nice. And I think NXT, it being your smaller show, doing like interesting 500-seater venues, 1,000-seater venue maybe, like nothing huge, but could be interesting and help them.
Yeah, I always like now they have this like almost like Nickelodeon TV set, TV show set kind of thing that they have. Whereas if they did more of these like other different venues, it could almost they like trying to be the indie kind of WWE fed that they are, but they don't do that. There is also, speaking of stadiums and stuff, there's all this reports of WWE is going to be doing a lot more stadium shows. So maybe that means they're going to be doing a big Rogers Center show.
I will
show.
Say the SummerSlam at the Nissan in Nashville,
yeah,
that appeals.
That sounds fun.
Like a big stadium show. You're not committing to the 2-day thing like you are with a Mania. And it's like Nashville. It's right there. It's right on the top of like Broadway pretty much.
Yeah.
So it would be a fun place to go.
I mean, if they do these stadium shows, I imagine NXT will have like your stand and delivers kind of, you know what I mean? Like they'll do a show there or something along those lines. Obviously probably. Not in the stadium.
No, but at the arena or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think of, it would be good. It would be good for NXT to go on the road, like to be at these, if they do more of these pay-per-views, like with your SummerSlam weekends or Rumble weekends or stuff like that.
And I think it's a good test for, the plan is to not have people in NXT too long, like a kind of 6-month cycle. You go in, you have your vignettes, you build them up. And then are they ready for TV or not? And you either go yes and you move them to a Raw or a SmackDown, or they get cut. That's kind of what like Triple H said in that interview recently, was like the process is a lot quicker now. You kind of do need to test people to see how they work on a bigger stage. And we're seeing more of these like guys going up and doing dark matches or main event and stuff. I think at Stand and Deliver, that kind of thing is a good way of seeing how does a Bron Breakker actually look in front of a big crowd. And I think he's one that does look good.
Yeah.
But other people maybe not. There are acts like when we go back and we're watching like 2013 NXT, there's acts like Emma, who was so popular in that Full Sail arena. They really loved her. They got the gimmick, but just it didn't work on a big stage at all. And they had to really change her character. And she even went back to NXT, didn't she?
Yeah.
So I think you do have to do, if this is a like developmental, I think it is a good idea to keep with the big shows quarterly or whatever to try and test and see how these guys are.
It would be good to kind of see that. It makes it feel a bit more special having like kind of a special show that you can promote and people can go to the WWE weekend and in whatsoever town and so forth. I was trying to think of some other, what else was going on in the world of wrestling? It feels like it's been like not as,
there's been a few things I haven't been able to see yet just because of time. Like
yeah.
I do want to catch up on some of the Impact show that I heard was pretty good.
Oh yeah. Okay. Some of our boys went, Cena and Frank went there. Yeah.
You had the like culmination of the Josh Alexander story, which they've done quite a good job with. I think they've built that for quite a long time and him finally getting the title over Moose. Jonah versus Ishii, I think is one I'd be interested in throwing on.
Yeah.
You had a couple of like three ways on that show, which sounded quite cool. So Impact, I think their pay-per-views recently have really stepped up and you can see some good matches there. I also haven't checked out the Moxley Ospreay match.
It was good. It was really good. I would say Ospreay is wrestling at that Forbidden Door show.
You would think so, yeah.
Like, I mean, a big match. He's teased Kenny. Mm. He's saying, hey, like, you should be healed up by then. Let's go. And, like, that match, I think, will happen eventually and will be a bigger... Just of the evolution of where he is now. Like, Ospreay has become a way bigger thing. I'm not too into that whole Empire thing.
Mm.
I think his wrestling, he's, like, become the guy. Like, one of the guys, definitely. Wrestling, he's definitely one of the ones who are untouchable. But... I still don't, you got all these, like, you're hanging out with TJP in your corner. I just don't, like, you don't need that. I love Jeff Cobb. I don't think.
But that's, like, everyone's in a faction in Japan, aren't
his
they?
His is and not cool, though.
I think it's more to give him, to have him as a leader rather than a number two in Chaos.
Yeah.
Or, what, another leader of the Bullet Club.
So I was
I
hyped.
I think it's more just a, I do like Cobb with him. I think he's actually come out of his
Cobb's
shell
cool.
a bit more
yeah.
since doing this heel run with Ospreay.
He needed to be the leader of his own group, and I was kind of hyped when it was like, okay, even Great Okan, okay, I don't really know much about him, gave him a chance. He's shown some cool stuff, but definitely not like on a level that a lot of people are definitely talking about. Mm. And then I just see like whenever they do these New Japan Strong crossover shows, whenever I've checked out stuff, cherry-picked here and there, I'm always seeing him with like... his Cody Rhodes family, essentially. Like, he's got, like, nine people with him. And I'm like, who are the... You don't look cool when you're hanging out with all these, like, guys. It doesn't help when all these other guys are just now lost in this shuffle of looking... Like, sorry, like, again, having TJP in your crew, I'm just like, all right, like, yeah, just not, like... I think, though, he still will, like, not break out, but, like, will continue to put on some serious big...
Yeah,
stuff.
I mean, he's going to be a main player in New Japan, absolutely.
100%.
And I think he is definitely one who... It's really him and Okada are the two we want to see on an AEW show.
I mean, we definitely fantasy booked that quite a few times.
I think we're going to get a couple of sort of dream matches on that show. I do think we're going to get some tags and six-mans and that kind of thing as well.
Sure.
Which could be fun. You've got quite a few factions in AEW, so I think for like a lower card match, that could be quite entertaining.
If Forbidden Door, I see Okada Punk as the main event in Chicago.
I can see that.
So, yeah. Definitely check out Ospreay Moxley, because that was pretty cool. I could see them running that back. Of course, you know, Moxley was getting bloody in that match and everything, but...
Always.
Yeah.
Like you.
Bloody like me last night, shaving my face. We're going to kind of just go through both shows, NXT and AEW, and kind of just give some thoughts. But we're not going to go crazy like detail of kind of how we always do, or we'd probably be here for 4 hours. But let's talk about some of the wrestling that we watched this week. Unless there was anything else you want to talk
about? No, I think let's get into some NXT.
Yeah, because I really want to talk about Nikita Lyons versus Lash Legend.
We got two. Number two,
yeah,
now.
The sequel.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the first banger of a match. Yeah, we're talking about some NXT from Tuesday, April 26th. And it started off with that match. Nikita Lyons, Lash Legend 2. Wade Barrett, using all of my favorite kind of lingo, talking about we've all been thirsty on Maine for weeks, and here's why. And then, like, the match is about to start.
He needs calm. Like, this week was a bit excessive.
You're saying a lot.
Go and have a wank, Wade. Like, chill. Like, Jesus.
Yeah. Well, it's free speech, you know?
Just a line here and there, but it was like the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, she's hot. Get it, Wade. All right. It's clearly directive, but.
Yeah, 100%.
It was a bit over the top this week.
It's weird because his gimmick is he does it for Mandy Rose.
Yeah.
And he talks about how he, like, you know, gives her drives, rides, he buys her nails. Like, he's been going off since he's been here and she's been here in NXT, like, about how he's simping for Mandy Rose, essentially. And, like, that's funny. That's kind of like the gimmick. It's kind of like Corey Graves used to do that for Mandy Rose.
Yeah. He did that for Mandy. Yeah. Eva Marie, who did it a lot for, I think.
Yeah, yeah. He's just always simping.
Tom Miller.
Yeah. It ain't easy. Well, Nikita versus Lash 2. The first time they fought, actually, it was kind of impressive to see. I see a lot of people on the Twitter world always kind of bashing Lash Legend. And I thought that first match between the two was probably the best she's looked. And then here, they had a rematch. And you know what? It was kind of similar. It had some back and forth pace stuff. There was, like, German suplexes. There was even Nikita hitting a Rana on a powerbomb counter. Like, there was some pretty cool stuff in
there. There was one move as well where I think it was Lyons just got dumped out of the ring?
Yeah.
Like, through the middle rope and
pretty much
landed on her head there. And they had a real sort of bit of a brawl here as well, didn't they? Like, it's been a bit of a heated feud over the last few weeks, and I hate when you've got that and then it comes to the match and they start with a lock up and a headlock. You're like, come on. Like, they went in right away. They were doing just launching the punches at each other, rolling around. I think this might have been both of their best matches so far. I think both are improving at quite a rapid rate. And I was really pleasantly surprised once again with these two. I think both have a really good look. They've kind of chilled with, like, lashing out, like, it's not as often anymore. So
right.
I think that's
not the same thing.
It's
it was,
not
yeah.
like it was her gimmick before was she is the talk show host, whereas it's now she's Lash Legend who sometimes will do her interview segment like Miz TV or whatever. So I think that works a lot better. I could see both these two doing pretty well in the company actually.
Like, yeah, I mean, the Lash Legend with the background in like athletics
basketball
and stuff. Yeah, like she definitely still, I think it was still so early for her to be on TV. And maybe the same with Nikita. I'm not familiar with her wrestling before NXT, but I don't think she's done a lot of it. So it's like, it's pretty crazy that these two are.
It definitely seems it's a kind of sink or swim environment there now.
Yeah.
Rather than maybe keeping you like like before 2.0 kicked off, you had your Von Wagners and stuff who'd been in the PC for quite a while. I don't think we're going to see that now. I think we're going to see them recruited and then within a few months put on TV and, sink or swim.
Yeah.
And I think these two swam.
Yeah, they did. I thought they had a good job. It was only like a 5-minute match, but it definitely caught my attention. It was probably one of the highlights of this episode for me. It may have even been the best match on this show, but it had some good back and forth. After the match, it's Nikita who beats Lash Legend. I think she hit her with a pump kick. And as she's celebrating, Nikita is attacked by the boat.
Ah.
Natalya Neidhart is here. She attacks Nikita. Lash and Natty now team up and beat down on Nikita. But Cora Jade in with the save with the skateboard to chase these two off. And it's
swung at her head with it.
She did swing.
This is a woman she used to look up to.
And she
gave her one slap, and now she's trying to take her head off with a skateboard.
Skate or die.
Crazy.
They announced that this match is happening next week at Spring Breakin'. Mm. Spring Breakin'.
Rippin' Chicken.
Rippin' Chicken, Spring Breakin'.
It's one of the worst names for a show.
Spring Breakin'.
It's just when people are trying to, like, it, Backlash or Judgment Day, like, sounds cool. You know, yeah. Some of them, at Judgment Day, you and I, at Vengeance, at Armageddon. At Spring Breakin'.
Doesn't sound cool at all.
Doesn't sound as menacing.
Even if you just said Spring Break. This show is exactly what we keep saying. This is Degrassi. This is the show. It's like the preteen show that they watch. Mm. Where it's like they're in high school and the big dance is coming up. The Spring Break or whatever. Like, that's what this feels like all the time. And I guess that's what they're going with this name.
So this is a tag match next week,
yeah,
right, at Spring Breakin'.
Yeah.
Okay, so Natalya and Lash against Nikita and Cora.
Yeah, it could be good.
So holding off the Cora match for a while, so I reckon Natalya sticks around for quite a few weeks.
I think so, yeah. What it sounds like, Natalya wants to just get in everyone's business.
Yeah.
So that's more boat, the better. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a vignette with Diamond Mine backstage, and well, none of them are winning lately. They keep getting screwed, especially out of the tag titles from Pretty Deadly. When Roddy says, you guys need to, like, get whipped into shape, you need to stop losing, which is, he's not been winning too much either.
Well, I think that's the thing,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's that, and they're going, wait, we didn't get pinned in the triple threat.
Yeah.
And we beat like three teams or four teams and just lost the last one, but Roddy doesn't care. We're getting a breakup
for sure.
These guys pretty soon. Yeah. And whether it's these guys getting fast-tracked to the main roster and Roddy staying or the other way around, I don't know.
Roddy's going to go to All Elite with his friends.
Yeah, when's his contract up?
He's going to get one of those Undisputed Elite shirts,
yeah,
which we'll talk about in a bit. But so Roddy says, you know what,
Diamond? He signed one last year.
Oh, okay.
At the end of last. So it's going to be quite a while.
He's going to be there for a while.
Unless they snip.
Poor Roddy. I love Roddy, though. Well, Roddy says, Diamond Mine, you guys are losers, so you guys need to step up. Therefore, there's a tag team, former world tag team champions, which I'm like, where are they? Damn, good for them. Are here for a match tonight, and they've just arrived, but you're going to face them next week. And in walk the... Fuck, what are their names? The
Viking Raiders. Eric and Ivar.
It's Eric. How could you forget Eric? In full gear, makeup on.
Breathing just really heavily.
Roaring. Mm. And they're like, yeah, watch what we're going to do. They have a match later tonight. Look, I actually love these guys, but I hated whatever WWE did with them. I used to love them on the indies, love them in Ring of Honor, War Machine was tight, New Japan, all that stuff. But that match at TakeOver New York with Aleister Black and Ricochet versus Viking Raiders, like, underrated match. Not a lot of people remember. Like, that whole card was just fantastic. But that match, I went, these guys are great. Like, these guys should be bigger than what they are. I learned that they won the tag titles on Raw, I guess, at one point or something like that.
But
I just,
who hasn't?
I just always remember them playing basketball.
Yeah.
So, like, it's Eric playing basketball. And I'm
eating
just
a turkey leg.
Yeah, I'm just not about it.
Yeah, this match sounds cool, though.
Hell yeah.
Creed Brothers versus these two. 100%. Like, I think that should be really good. And I think this will be good for Viking Raiders to... I think if we're going to start seeing with NXT, like, misused talent come down for a little quick run, I'm kind of all for that.
Yeah. I love these guys. I think their wrestling is good. They look like kind of geeky with these names and everything, but if that means they're
Vikings.
Vikings are in. The Northmen is out.
Actual real Vikings.
The Northman.
Yeah.
It's coming
out.
Heard
good things.
Yeah, I kind of want to see it. Willem Dafoe, I mean, he doesn't miss, right? So, well, we go to our next match, which was Von Wagner going up against Tony D'Angelo, which you might be like, what? Why? It's apparently someone...
Is it Zion Quinn?
Yeah.
Had... well, he was off with an injury or something this week.
Tony makes it sound like he's the one who did it always. So, Tony...
But just a bit of a weird dynamic because both these guys are on the up right now and both heels. So, odd replacement match to give him.
I was a little confused. The crowd were...
Didn't know who to cheer for, really.
They just didn't like any either of these guys, to be honest.
And Robert Stone with a bit of a name change. He's now Mr. Stone.
Mr. Stone?
Mr. Stone.
All right, yeah. Sure.
So he's there with Mr. Wagner against Mr. D'Angelo.
Fucking Von Wagner and Mr. Stone. Dude. I don't blame anyone for not watching this show. This was great watching it the day after, because we're doing this the day after. But Von Wagner and Mr. Stone, the incredible wrestler Von Wagner.
Really, yeah, really great stuff.
There was a lot of walking around in this match. There was some slugfest here with some fisticuffs, but there was actually some impressive looking suplexes from Wagner. And D'Angelo hits some pretty nice looking moves as well when he wants to, including a belly to belly. Legado del Fantasma try to get involved with an interference, which allows a distraction. So Santos smacks Tony, was it with his shoe or something, causing a distraction, allows Von Wagner to hit him with his move.
It was the crowbar.
The crowbar, yeah.
Knee, yeah.
So that's when the mafioso guys show up as well to run off Legado del Fantasma. But Von Wagner gets the W here in, I think, just over 10 minutes or something. But, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like this match at all.
No, me neither.
I found it really quite dull. This was when I was watching this on the flight, and this was when I...
Did they have NXT on
the flight, yeah. This was where I fell asleep, this match. Yeah. And I tried a couple of times and fell asleep through it. I have watched the whole match since, though. Just didn't really do anything for me wrestling-wise. I don't think these were a good match for each other. And especially both being heels, it made it that I don't really care with this. I am somewhat interested in the D'Angelo-Santos feud. I think that can be quite fun. These guys who are with Tony D'Angelo, though... I did Guys and Dolls when I was 12, and this is what these guys reminded me of.
Is that a play?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Luck Be a Lady Tonight, all the New York,
They look like they're going to go singing in the rain.
Yeah, but they look like kids dressed up as, what they think gangsters look like, you know?
Right.
Tony D'Angelo, at least he kind of looks Italian, and I don't know if these guys are Italian or not, but kind of looks the part. These two just look like... Okay, here's your mob costume.
It's Cena's WrestleMania 23 entrance.
Yeah, it looks so bad, and they look so geeky. Need Fabian with them.
Yeah, he's got to be coming, right? He's got to be. So, I mean, the match itself didn't really do much for me either. I do think these guys are capable of putting on some good wrestling, but with all these weird characters... The thing with Mr. Stone and Wagner and Miss Cromwell, I don't know what the fuck that's supposed to be. And then we have the mobster guy. Everything's just really weird. We get the boys, Briggs and Jensen, backstage. And they're ready. They're hyped up for their match tonight when, just who I was speaking of, that Cromwell lady walks by and distracts them. Jensen's just staring. Just completely not caring. Definitely, just staring at her.
He liked what he saw.
And, we know what happens if you get caught staring at Cromwell. Because
beaten up.
He gets taken out later, and it's announced he's not going to be in his match later. Because, we could figure out, Von Wagner's attacking people for looking at her. So,
yeah.
Damn, is that the gimmick? Did you just have a trash sound? Because it's that gimmick. we get, who is this? Frazier? Brendan Frazier is going to show up here in NXT 2.0. Nathan Frazier, a.k.a. or formerly known as...
Ben Kingsley. No, that's the actor.
Ben Tramer.
Ben.
Yeah, Ben. He's here. Nathan Frazier's here, and he's going to have a debut against, I think it was Guru Raj, who was standing in the ring, when he is attacked by Grayson Waller, throws him out, beats him up, and says, "You're not going to be debuting here. You're you're not stealing my thunder. I'm Grayson Waller." And he runs out in the ring to fight him. Eventually, it's Frazier hitting this very impressive-looking tope.
He got some distance and speed with this one. I thought it looked really cool.
And so who was it that saved him now? I didn't even write it down, but two people saved Nathan Frazier. Like, they stood in the ring chasing off Waller. Am I crazy? Am I imagining this? I think it was, oh man, I can't even remember. I didn't write it down.
I thought it was just Nathan Frazier sent him away, didn't he?
Yeah, but he was posing. He was like dancing with someone.
Was he?
Man, there's too many gimmicks in this show. Like, they all blend. Like, they're
was
all
he
like,
dancing with someone?
At least he wasn't dancing, but like, fuck. I'm imagining this, probably. I don't know. Someone's like, wow, great review, guys. We get more spring break talking. We get next week, which is the spring break. But then in 2 weeks, we are going to have the women's breakout tournament. So we've seen this in the men's side here in NXT a few times, the breakout tournament. But now it's going to have some new women show up here. And we're going to get, I assume, like some competitors that already are kind of been here. More so maybe like your Fallons or...
You know. I think this new crop will probably see Roxanne Perez in there, I would imagine. Maybe Nikita and Lash Legend. But some new ones as well.
In this tournament, we got a lot of videos of a lot of women.
It was, Andre Chase and Bodie Hayward.
Oh my God.
And they say that was a teachable moment. So Nathan Frazier may be joining Chase U.
Yeah, that's Nathan Frazier's going to join
Chase. He was dancing around, yeah.
I'm not crazy.
No.
You're hanging around with Andre Chase.
Yeah.
Did somebody...
But that match could be good, actually, next week. Nathan Frazier Waller is announced for spring breakin'. Rickin' chicken.
Yeah, Waller should beat him.
Yeah, sure.
I really don't like Waller. I know that's his, like, he's the heel. I'm supposed to not like him, but it's definitely like you're not doing good effective heel work. It's like I don't want to.
I think the opposite. I think he's very unlikable, but in a good way.
It's I
think we're just not used to seeing dicks anymore. I think everyone's tries to be too cool.
I don't know. Like, obviously the comparison to like MJF is there because MJF has that character right now that is working, that a lot of people do feel like is the first time a heel is back in wrestling kind of thing. And I feel like it's such a Kmart version of that. But
you see, I find of all the characters in NXT, I find him most believable. I feel you go back to the take your own personality and dial it up to 11.
Sure.
That's what I get with this guy. Is I imagine him being like lining up to get into a club and just being a complete cunt, you know? Sure. Like, that's kind of what I get. I don't see him like, and that's why I think he's kind of good, because I think we don't see it enough in WWE at all anymore.
I mean, like, they've already.
The test would be to see down the line if they ever turn him babyface, can he flip it that way? But sure. I do think he's an effective heel, and I think the match with Nathan Frazier could be fun.
We get Tiffany, who's backstage. She's being interviewed, and she gets interrupted by Waller, who's like, hey, Tiffany, I know this is your time, but I'm just so upset. And this is when he basically the challenge is made and the match is set for next week. And Tiffany goes, ew, that Frazier guy looks homeless. And he has an accent, and people with accents are awful. And he's like, yeah, accents are awful. He has an Australian accent, which did make me laugh. So then he kind of walks off with Tiffany.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's a couple thing now, like.
And they both hate Mackenzie as well.
That they go, wow, you hate Mackenzie too? Oh, okay. Let's go. We should be friends.
I did enjoy, in the promo, I think Waller called, Frazier Willy Wonka.
With the Willy Wonka haircut. Like,
yeah, he does have a Willy Wonka
haircut. Like, is it almost like, the remake?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the Johnny Depp Willy Wonka. It's not good. Hair,
yeah. Shout out Johnny Depp. we go to Caden Carter and who?
Katana Chance.
Okay. If you have the chance, you need to see the WWE.com exclusive of
her explaining
the name change. They filmed a segment with this tag team talking to Mackenzie, I think. And another tag team just standing by, and she explains the name change. You don't need to watch NXT this week. Just watch the 1 minute promo that she cuts. And wow, it's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
Katana Chance.
I haven't had the chance to watch it yet.
Wow, it's great. It's basically like, I like dancing and expressing myself. It's like, okay. Okay. All right. Caden Carter and...
Oh, it's actually, I found it.
It's great. It's so good. So Casey Catanzaro is now Katana Chance, and they're still a tag team, but now they've even raved it up even more. They've got smoke guns. They've got like electric lights around their neck.
They have these like shoulder pad things going on.
It's like, it's real. Like I love ravey shit. I'm super raves are lit, but these people look like not the kind of people I want to watch. I see at raves.
No.
Like they look so annoying. We've seen them at the country concert before.
Yeah, they are just naturally very annoying people.
They should be heels. Well, they got rave guns and smoke guns and all sorts of stuff. They're going up against the team of we've seen these two before, actually. Yulisa Leone or Leon and Valentina Faraz.
Yeah.
Who actually I think are quite impressive.
I love their little dance before the match starts. It always makes me laugh.
It's lit. It's so good. You've instantly stood out from all these other people. Like from the first time we saw you, like I remembered these two. And you know what? A lot of the like maybe they're still somewhat new at this as well, but I thought they stood out more than Caden and Casey in this match.
They're impressive. I really like all four of these. We just said I find Caden and Katana quite annoying.
She looks like a Katana.
Bell to bell, I really enjoy them, and I think you need to. The thing, when these two eventually go up to the main roster, I bet they'll be split and they'll be individual. And I just think you've got this women's tag division. You should be trying to build up tag teams. You're moving up. So I'd like to see all this four keep as two teams for when they make that main roster call and actually have legit women's tag teams up there because the division is nothing. But I really enjoyed this. I think Leon and Faraz keep on doing, they're trying different like impressive things and sort of double team moves and splashes. And Ulyssa's got a bit more height, so she's throwing Valentina all over the place. Caden and Casey have really mastered their double team moves now as well. So I like there was a bit, was it like Casey? I think crucifix one of her arms, one of Valentina's arms in the ropes, like with her legs. Allowing Caden to hit like a drop kick midsection, I thought was pretty cool. But I thought this was a really enjoyable match with these four.
Yeah, no, I again, really impressed. We've seen Katana and Caden kind of do these moves before. And yeah, they do. The finish is a neckbreaker 450 combo that they've been hitting where Casey jumps off the top. And that's how they win the match. But I was kind of more impressed than like Leon and Faraz because the wrestling is there. And I thought some of the like the selling was what kind of made me super into it. So yeah, I'm super into this team and their entrance. I mean, that theme, I can just picture them dancing now with the shaky. It's lit.
The smiley. It's just they don't do anything other than the shimmy, which is why I find it funny.
Yeah, it's probably ironic, ironically funny. But yeah, it's great. It's so good. Shimmy, shimmy, yeah.
You've got all their feathers.
Fuck.
But then Caden, it's like they've won the match. They've had quite a competitive match. And then she's won and she just does a little like shoulder dance.
Oh my
like,
God.
It's so annoying.
I like how Caden and Casey... Sorry, Katana. It's like that worked better than Katana. Why are they calling this white girl Katana?
Because she loves expressing herself.
I guess. They do the Lethal Weapon like back-to-back pose. Man, like get out of here. We go to a video for... Not Kaylee Ray.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think I was talking about?
Oh, no, there's someone in the breakout tournament, isn't there, I want to talk about. But, yeah, so what's her name now? She likes fire, so she's Ariana Fire or something?
Ariana Fire. I think it's Alba Fire.
Alba Fire.
How could you forget? It's Alba Fire.
Alba Fire.
Sounds like a country
music.
So
we now, this is stuff to look forward to on 2.0 now. It's the videos of...
The name changes.
So she doesn't rage anymore. She now likes fire. So much that she's changed her name to Fire.
So she's got a baseball bat that she's dragging on the floor, which is causing fire.
Yeah.
Which you can see they've put like something on the bat.
It's like a giant match.
Yeah. And she's striking it. And then there's fire. And she's like, I'm going to rage and I'm going to set things on fire.
The new Lady Kane here.
Yeah. Alba Fire.
Alba Fire. Could have been in Fire Frank's team last year.
Yeah. Alba Fire.
Alba Fire.
Wow.
Yeah. I will say, I would always get confused whether it's Kaylee Ray or Kylie Ray because just the names.
Sure.
So cool. Fire Girl now.
We go to our next match, which is Briggs and Jensen hold the Jensen.
Mm.
And they're facing Legado del Fantasma.
And Fallon. It's mixed tag.
So this is a six-person mixed tag match, meaning Joaquin Wilde, Cruz del Toro, and Electra Lopez. We didn't get Cruz del Toro's video explaining his name. Why did you change your name? I like Guillermo.
I like Bulls, and I like
Tom.
Mission Impossible
Yeah,
films.
Tom Cruise. So Legado del Fantasma fought Briggs and Jensen and Fallon Henley, but it was a handicap match. So, you know what? I know that we kind of make fun of Briggs and Jensen, but we knew Briggs, Josh Briggs from before. Like the wrestling was always pretty good. He holds his own in this match for sure. And especially when you hang around someone like Wilde and Del Toro here, who can fly around you and bump for you, makes for fun stuff. Cause they've been polishing this act for far too, like these guys should be on the main roster by this point, I think. But, I was impressed with Fallon here, actually.
Me too. I really felt great. This whole episode seemed like the women really stepped up.
Yeah.
There was a lot of women's matches and women's involvement. And I thought for me, it actually made it a more enjoyable show than usual because I thought they all really did step up. And I actually kind of enjoyed the tag team of Briggs and Fallon more than Briggs and Jensen. I liked Fallon doing all of Jensen's spots, like when they do the run through the ropes and the double punch to the face. And stuff like that. I thought it was more fun just her doing it. But she's someone I hope, if she's in this breakout tournament, goes quite far. Because I've really liked what I've seen of Fallon Henley. And she seems a bit more natural with the acting kind of in this role with these guys. I think it's helped Briggs and Jensen's act as well.
The story here could be now that Jensen's like, wow, you guys like really hit it off. They start dating and Jensen's still can't get a girlfriend, still can't get laid.
Yeah.
And it's going to break him up.
It should happen. Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Also, Legado now on a 3-week winning streak. So they're drawing attention to that, definitely making them seem a bit more of a formidable team now, which is good because we've been like, oh, I love these guys, but they're just the jobbers to everyone. I don't know what they're building them up for, though, because the Creeds definitely feel like the ones who will face pretty deadly.
They're building,
or are they building them up so they're like to move up and be a bit stronger?
We're definitely getting the Tony D'Angelo family
versus
Legado family. So like that's the next feud. But yeah, I do think they could be moving up, especially Del Toro now, Rebel Mendoza. We've been talking about him for so long.
Mm.
He was our enhancement talent of the year, what, 2-3 years in a row?
Like,
he is still the enhancement talent because makes other people look so good.
He's been there since, 15?
He must be have been there for a long
time. 17 maybe?
And they just changed his name now. So like,
which
really weird.
Probably is like, if they're going to move up, because I think they're okay with them having, same with Kaylee Ray, if they've just changed their name, maybe some 2016. Yeah.
That's nuts.
So a long time.
Legado win. Eventually they hit the Enziguri side wrestling leg sweep
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Natalia's backstage and she's talking with Lash Legend. They got their tag match next week and she says she's going to put Jade in the sharpshooter and she's going to break Jade's legs.
Wow.
Gonna break her legs. And then Lash says, we gonna get that dub. Okay. And they walk off together. I love, this is my new favorite tag team ever. Natalia.
The legend and the legend?
Yeah. The two legends. The boat and the legend. The best of all time and the legend. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
You see already, like, this is a more interesting team than any of them on Raw.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah, that doesn't. I don't understand, but it's great.
I'm kind of up for this match.
Wow, look at you praising Natty.
Yeah,
love it. Shout out Natty. We get some videos for this breakout tournament here. Is this Kiana James?
Was this the one that made me laugh?
There was definitely one that made you laugh. Is it because
she's like a stockbroker?
No, she's going to calculate the odds, and she's then on her computer calculating stuff, doing work. She's got glasses, business suit, casual, and she's a successful woman. And I know that, successful women knows everything, and I got it all. I can fight, I've trained, and I've got clout. So she's the businesswoman.
So yeah, this was Kayla Inlay.
Kayla Inlay.
Previously.
That's like a pig Latin word or something. Kayla Inlay. And now it's Kiana James.
Yeah, I don't know about this character. We're back to silly gimmicks. So yeah, she's like a businesswoman.
Yeah.
And then a wrestler by night.
Yeah, it's really weird.
She's trading stocks during the day and giving like banking advice and stuff.
Later on.
And then wrestles. But yeah, she's great.
Okay, what about, while we're on the topic, Ariana Grace. I think that's Santino's daughter.
Yes.
Bianca Carelli. She's going to be in this tournament.
Yeah, they were
well.
Showing up more her like fighting background, weren't they,
yeah.
In this?
They were saying that they didn't mention Santino at all. They didn't mention that at all, but she said that she's... a fighter. We had Ariana Grace, we had Kiana James, and then we had Sloane Jacobs, who said that she is 19 and hopes to be like the youngest, winner of this, youngest champion, which is crazy. I mean, some of these people in NXT are super young these days. And I can't remember what her kind of thing was. They just said that she's young. And
she's young. That was her.
Like, I'm a kid.
She's young but had two older brothers, I think it was. So I'd fight with them and therefore can fight.
That's great. I am excited about this tournament, though. It could be some good stuff. We go to Trick Williams versus Solo Sikoa. And this is because, Solo has been kind of in and out with the whole North American title picture. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have a match next week, that triple threat. But we have Carmelo... His man, his hype man here, Trick Williams, going one-on-one with Solo. It's a pretty quick match. Trick does get some cool stuff in. He's got really long legs, so he hits like pretty cool-looking like spin kicks and things like that. But in the end, it's Solo eventually hitting him with the splash and getting a win in like 5 minutes.
Mm.
But after that, it's Carmelo kind of getting in his face like, hey, next week, you're just a casualty.
Accidentally super kicked Cameron Grimes, who's on holiday. Not on holiday, on commentary. But didn't seem to... Like, he went for Melo, but Melo moved and he clocked Grimes. But Solo also didn't seem to care after he'd done it. But I think that's going to be a good triple threat next week.
Hell yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, 100%. And I think we've talked about it. I think Solo should win because he'll be in the bloodline.
Yeah,
that's the way to bring him up. Just be like, hey, look, Oos, Roman, Joe, look, I did it. I even won titles... here for the bloodline. And then Roman's like, all right, you're in. Come on in. Let's
absolutely.
Go. We go to, is it, what's going on in this video with these guys backstage? Malik Blade and Idris?
Inoue.
Yeah, Idris Inoue.
I think they've taken over Briggs and Jensen for the ironic finding it funny.
Yeah.
Because they're terrible.
This
dialogue is so bad.
Malik is now sporting Idris?
Inoue had big cloak, royal Freddie Mercury cloak.
Yeah, and a hat or a
and
crown.
And he's trying to hype up Malik, who's all nervous about
their match against the Viking Raiders.
And he basically gets him to do, I'm a strong, powerful woman. That.
Look in the mirror. Say it. You're fast. You're strong. And he's like, I'm fast. I'm strong. And he's like, we got this. All right. I thought it was pretty funny. I think you're right.
I think it was funny because they're going to go out and just get murdered by the Viking Raiders after, which they did.
Well, that's exactly what happened. The Viking Raiders come out and I love it cuts to some dudes in the crowd oh, Viking Raiders are here. Oh, cool. And some people were doing the war.
Yeah.
What was it? Raid? What did they do?
Raid.
They used to
do the horns with war. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a squash. We get the classic moves from Viking Raiders, crushing these guys, and then they do a respect angle afterwards. Because there was a little bit of back and forth.
They got a little in.
Yeah, it wasn't a complete squash. It was under 5 minutes, but Yeah, the Viking Raiders beat these guys. I kind of like this new Idris Enofe. It's better than, wasn't he, like, now he's all hyped up wearing the crown, the cloak, acting like a king when, like, 2 months ago he was sad and alone in a coffee shop.
No, that was Draco.
That was Draco?
Yeah.
Then what was Idris's gimmick?
Idris Enofe, I don't think he had one. I think he was just in matches.
We just saw
him in, like, some squash matches. What? Do you mind? I'm trying to record a show here. We're talking about Idris Enofe.
Where have we seen Idris?
Come on, guys. Yeah, I think we've just seen him in matches.
So, sorry, Draco's now gone from the coffee guy to the army guy.
Draco was, yeah, he liked coffee. He's in the army. He doesn't like families. He didn't want to join Gacy's family.
Right.
And he doesn't like Zion Quinn sticking up for him.
Okay, and then these guys were with Mandy Rose. They were trying to get with Mandy Rose. And now Idris has a crown and a coat thing. I think it's the best version of
him. I think he's trying to, like, be like, hey, we're better than this. Like, he's projecting, right? He's manifesting. Yeah.
All right. I'm kind of for it, though, actually. Like, I'm about it. It's way better. Yeah, it's way better this way than whatever they were doing before. So we go from that. Then we go to a video for Wes Lee. It's kind of showing him on his own on the beach, kind of thinking, posing. And he says a lot's happened in his life. And now he's time to just focus on himself. And talked about giving the titles back was worse than losing the championships the first time. So now it's time to focus on himself, knuckle up, and he's going to be on his own, but he's going to be the new Wesley.
Yes.
Which, it was fine. I think they should have just done this without the other stuff they did.
Yeah, I don't think they needed the match or anything. I wasn't bothered by what he said last week. I think you are just in this awkward situation where,
for sure,
do we just ignore it? Do we address it? Like, you're not going to say, oh yeah, unfortunately my partner's left because he was accused of abuse and dressed like Hitler.
Of course.
Like, you're not going to say that, but I think we could have done maybe without the match and the loss last week and just done this for sure.
100%. Yeah. So, and he said he's going to knuckle up. I always like to knuckle up.
Good. I'm excited for Wes.
We go to Tony D'Angelo backstage. He says that he's upset at Legado del Fantasma and that, you know, it's time to pay and that this war is coming and he's got his family now. And we see these two guys now standing beside him. We can see their faces clear as day. And does he call one of them Two Dimes Donovan? And then Lucenzo, but everybody calls him Stacks. So we've got Two Dimes Donovan and Stacks.
Yeah. This feels like it's just Matt Menard and Jeff Parker, doesn't it?
Yeah. Or
whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Cool Hand Ange.
That's better. I don't mind.
Two Dimes and Stacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just look like dweebs behind him.
We'll
see.
Yeah. I'm excited to see the mob stuff.
Warfare.
Yeah, I want more mob stuff, but yeah, good stuff. I want more Godfather references. I want Goodfellas references, Sopranos.
I want them to get ridiculous.
This is pretty ridiculous.
Someone needs to get, like, popped here.
Two Dimes Donovan needs
Two
to get
Two Dimes needs to just die. Yeah. Like, none of this wrestling stuff. Just, like, let's go all in. Like, he's been shot in the back of the head twice.
Fuck. I don't know, like, if that... I think that crosses the line that WWE never really does. Like, of course...
They should cross it.
Yeah, they should. Like, if this was, like, TNA and shit like that, like, 100%. Yeah. Someone getting shot in a mobster storyline. Like, yeah. There needs to be some... Yeah, there does need to be... Like, he joked a few times. Tony's like, oh, like, remember it was the producer.
Yeah.
He ended up in the trunk. So stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you could just have legit people go missing. And then people are like, yo, where are these people?
Yeah, we need some more luchadors just to hang out with. So, because we're not getting rid of Cruz and Wild. We can't.
Yeah.
But he needs, you get Fuego would be great in this, wouldn't he?
He's good at dying.
He is.
He's good at being the sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Family mob warfare. It's so silly, but I'm willing to give this a shot because it sounds ridiculous. It should be good. Yeah. And Fabio needs to join them.
Fabian
Eichner.
100%.
Yeah. He'll be there. He'll be like the savior. But then that means there's four of them.
Well, no, one of them's being killed, remember?
Oh, yeah. Two Dimes Donovan. Yeah. We go to our next match, which is Roxanne Perez going one-on-one with Mandy Rose. So last week, Roxanne, in her debut, beat JC Jane from Toxic Attraction. So she says she could probably do it again. And, well, that's how this match happens. And Mandy says, you think you can do it again? Well, you can face me, and I'll show you what a real champion looks like. Mandy's kind of beating her down, but Roxanne has some pretty sweet wrestling abilities. They say she is 20 years old.
She's, yeah, really good.
I think. Like, she does some pretty impressive technical stuff early in this match. When Mandy takes over, it kind of showed me Mandy's the champ here and is the vet here. But Roxanne looks like she could wrestle circles around Mandy Rose. Mandy gets in her face when she's beating down on Perez and kind of puts her finger there. When Perez bites her finger and then slams Mandy's hand on the outside onto the apron and to the ring steps. There was some pretty good offense, but eventually, is it Toxic kind of get involved? I think on the apron or something. They somehow try to get
ways.
Yeah, that's just their thing. And eventually Mandy hits her Mandy Rose trigger thing and gets the win. But I thought Roxanne looked pretty good.
Me too. I think this is 2 weeks in a row now. She's really impressed me. Just looks very, very comfortable and smooth. Knows exactly what she's doing. I agree about Mandy. I think she's maybe regressed, if anything. Just doesn't move too quick in there. And I don't know. I think she's been fine in tags and multi-mans and stuff like that. But it's this Toxic thing is just, I'm so bored of it. All three of them.
Yeah.
I think they all need to move on and do something else.
I do. I think that too, but I mean, they're the champs right now. So it's probably not going to happen anytime soon. Roxanne and Toxic Attraction, it seems as if maybe we will get, do we get like a rematch with her or down the line? Because Roxanne.
I thought she'd face Gigi this week and then Mandy.
But next week.
Yeah, but she could always face Gigi, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I do think that you could do the rematch at some point, and she could be the one to, because I think we were saying Jade should have been the one to take the title off Mandy, but yeah. We go to, sorry, there's a beatdown from Toxic Attraction, and she's saved by Wendy Chu. Wendy Chu is in the ring when Toxic now are on the entrance ramp, and she has a button, and then she pushes the button, and then a net.
Oh, no, not the net.
A net is shot from somewhere onto Toxic Attraction, who are standing on the entrance ramp again. And then when they're in the net trying to – where they're like, we're caught in a net. Wendy gives Roxanne some silly string, and then they both go up and they silly string Toxic Attraction.
It was hilarious. It was great TV. Yeah, really, really enjoyed it.
And then from that, they cut to the promo for the breakout women's tournament. And I was like, yeah, get ready. In 6 months, some of you will be doing this.
this Wendy Chu thing's terrible.
Wendy Chu for champ. Wendy Chu should face Mandy next week and just take it. I did not like this.
No, I didn't. At all. It was just silly.
I like Wendy Chu. I like her wrestling. The character does have an opportunity to kind of go somewhere, but this has nothing to do with it. Why? You're telling me some guy was just standing there with a net gun to shoot the net there and then silly string.
Set it up.
I don't understand what silly string nets have to do with being tired all the time.
No, and it's just at least when you've had something, when they've done blood fall from the sky or
chocolate syrup.
Yeah, all that stuff. Like, it's funny because they're covered in the shit.
Yeah.
But this, it's like they're under a net and then they take the net off.
And then they get silly stringed.
It was silly.
String. Yeah. Yeah. We go to, well, there's more. There's more silly string. There's more silly things. We go to Joe Gacy and his druids in the ring. Gacy's in the ring and he's got all these druids with him. Like, they're all outside the ring, covering the ring. There's probably 15 of these guys, 10 of these guys, more so. Gacy cuts some just rambling nonsense, kind of almost like what Bray Wyatt used to do. Literally cookie cutter shit, as we were saying the past few weeks. He's just turned into this.
Yeah.
Here he is being like, I'm the future. I'm going to change the world. And all sorts of shit like that. Oh, man. It broke me for last week.
Yeah, he's talking a whole lot of nothing. He's going to... At one point, he even says, and at spring break and after. You will never be... You mean after spring break?
It's weird.
Yeah, not cool.
Spring breaking.
Spring breaking.
He says, I'm going to be the new champ, and the past is the past. And then Rick Steiner comes out, walks down to the ring, and says, look, Joe, you think you've taken out my son? Well, next week, my son, Braun, will be cleared. He is cleared, and he will face you and beat you at spring breaking. And Gacy's like, hey, you shouldn't have showed up here because now I'm going to kill you. And all these druids look like they're going to circle in on him.
They're going to eat him.
Braun Breaker's music hits. He comes out and he starts fighting all these druids.
So your dad's come to work to hang out with you. Why are you entering separately?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you just come out with your dad?
Yeah. Also, your dad was, like, kidnapped by this
You're just
going
to let your dad walk to his kidnapper, who's now got, like, 100 people with him as well.
This has to be one of the worst feuds in wrestling.
It's bad.
Like,
it's
not really just bad. This year. Like, this
and
is
I like Braun. And I think it's cool that Rick Steiner's there, but yeah, not in this.
Not this. This is so bad.
But also, just like the Rick Steiner thing where there was no payoff. It was next week.
This is
he was released. Well, no, we're saying we didn't see him, like, get freed or anything like that. It's like, oh, Rick Steiner's at home and he's okay. Same with this. Last week we saw all these druids eat Braun Breaker. And then he just comes out, like, no mention about what they did to him. Is it just the cameras then go off and the druids get up and walk away? Like, what did they do to him when they surrounded him?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
So. Whoa. That's what they're doing?
It's awful.
It's terrible. And, yeah, the only good thing is the match is, what, next week?
Yeah.
So hopefully it can, one and done, move on.
Joe Gacy for champ?
No, please.
This character is done.
It's done. They've really jumped the shark with it.
I think
and
after
just
next
reverted week. Back to all the old tropes. Like, just his followers are lazy. The druid thing. Just, it's so unoriginal. They should be all, like, dressed in the black shirt with the black pants.
Where's Harland?
I think Harland... Isn't he on his honeymoon or something like that?
It's been a while. We haven't seen him.
Yeah, it's been a few weeks.
I think the Joe Gacy character meets its end next week, and Harland is a completely different entity.
Yeah.
Without Joe Gacy going forward.
I hope so, because it's not working.
Yeah.
None of it.
It's not even... Like, it's not even laughable. It's just like, oh, my God, it's so stupid. Like, it's why would this guy who was woke now has druids? Last week was one of the worst shit I've watched. That made me go, I'm not doing this show this week. We're going to do this instead. Because I was just, no, I'm done. Like, I was so done with the show. This pissed me off too. Like, just so stupid.
With wrestling companies though and just being like, we need a spooky cult leader all the time.
Yeah, I guess.
All the time.
It's like go-to. Yeah, it's definitely a go-to. This, I have no interest in the match whatsoever.
No,
but yeah, that's NXT.
I will say I enjoyed the wrestling a lot more this week than
me too
than the previous week. I thought the women really stepped up. Liked Lash Legend and Nikita Lyons. Enjoyed the tag match as well. I think it's cool seeing the War Raiders there, and Roxanne Perez keeps on like showing up, showing. She's good. I think good week for the women, and there is promise of talent in this company, but unfortunately the main story is god awful.
The main story is the world title story, and it's so terrible. And I mean, Braun's got to win this and go on to the next feud, but the Joe Gacy thing looks like it is completely washed now. Like, that is done. I don't know where you go with anything, and I have no interest. We like the guy.
Mm.
His wrestling isn't even – he's pretty good. He's a good wrestler. He had good promo skills whenever he was using that woke stuff. Look, he got him featured on Forbes, like, right away or whatever.
Like, it's not
– Not Forbes. Fuck, whatever. the magazine – like, people were covering this woke gimmick.
He can perform. He seems very comfortable with the acting stuff. It's just the material is terrible.
So bad.
But it could be even like Gacy loses and Haaland appears after and we continue with Haaland and Bronn after this. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was NXT.
I didn't really care for it, but you know what? There was some glimmers of some good stuff, and having a breakout women's tournament. NXT, I still think, has some of the... They highlight and showcase the women in a great way and showing you, like, look, they've made so many big stars that are women come from this company, so why not continue to try that and do that? And I think it can work. Nikita Lyons, definitely someone to watch. I think will even continuously get better. And this Roxanne Perez, like, 20 years old and you're wrestling like that, that's crazy. So super excited to see that. This tournament could be pretty good. Or it could be really bad and have lots of silly string in it and stuff, you know?
No, you save that for the world title picture, the silly string.
And the druids and dads. Rick you imagine saying, like, last year, like, yo, NXT's going to have Rick Steiner and his son in, like, an angle. They'd be like, yo, that's sick. And then this is what you get. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, it would have been way better him involved in the Dolph feud, you know?
Yeah.
Like, than this.
Yeah, 100%.
And I'm sure Dolph would have actually been like, this is pretty cool. I get to work with Rick Steiner.
But instead it's this. It's
kidnappings.
Good stuff. Well, let's talk about some Dynamite. From last night, April 27th. AEW Dynamite from this week. I enjoyed this show a lot more. It's got a lot going on, including some matches that were advertised, including this match here, the qualifier for the Owen Hart tournament. FTR going against each other.
Yeah.
So the winner of this match goes into the Owen Hart tournament, and both guys who really love Bret Hart are facing each other, and then they have the other guy who loves Bret Hart on commentary, CM Punk, to just be there for magical reasons. He did help us out. I know we used to say on Up Next and FTR days and stuff, but bald FTR,
bald and hair,
beard FTR. Yeah, there's two ways to distinguish them. So Dax versus Cash happened, and of course, I think we were watching this, and I was like, it has to end with the Owen Hart, Bret Hart finish, right? With the thing. There were so many callbacks to so many Bret Hart matches and Owen matches. There was callbacks to Bret versus Benoit in the Owen Hart tribute match that they were doing in this. There was a lot of cool little things. But even if you didn't really kind of check those out, pretty solid match because a lot of the wrestling was pretty good. Of course, you got the Bret spot getting thrown, like, what, sternum first into the turnbuckle. We got the roll-ups and reversals, the pile drivers, the sharpshooter counter. It ends with Dax wanting to put him in the sharpshooter, but he's like, I don't know. And then it's countered into the small package, but then he counters that into the 1-2-3.
There was an accidental, like, thumb to the eye as well from Dax to Cash, and Cash was like, thought he did it on purpose, so it got a little heated towards the end. Really, really good match. I think they got a little bit too cute with all the Bret stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there was a lot of it, and some of it felt a little like we're trying to set up for this next Bret spot. Like, it didn't flow as nicely.
Sure.
And I thought the actual beginning of the match, especially when they were just wrestling, was what got my attention more. And I kind of felt that with FTR versus the Bucks won, like, it was fun, but they were like, they got very cute with all the tag team callbacks.
Right.
And I actually think I enjoyed the second one more when they just kind of went at it.
Yeah.
I kind of feel the same here. I think it makes complete sense to do it. These are two very big Bret and Owen fans,
right,
and it's the Owen Hart tournament, and it's kind of a big match for it, so why not do the tribute stuff?
For
but
sure.
I think I would like to see another one-on-one match without that and just these two go at it and wrestle.
I don't think you will.
Maybe not, no.
I don't think you will.
The tournament next year.
Yeah.
Just once a year.
The road to for this match was pretty good. I watched that. We put it on, and I thought that was pretty good. I think both guys are actually pretty good talkers. I know Dax is the talker of the group, but Dash is coming to his own there.
Cash.
Sorry, Cash is coming. FTR hair.
FTR hair.
Has really come into his own. I really love this, actually. Of course, Bret Hart fan, but the wrestling between these two showed. Even that stuff with the poke to the eye, there was a lot of stuff in it. It was like, this is probably like, do whatever you want kind of thing. So, really love this. And it's Dax advancing.
Yeah, which I'm pleased with. I think there's a few people I'd like to see him.
He should go all the way.
Why not?
Yeah, he should go all the way. In the tournament also, Joe, Cole, and Kyle. So some crazy people in this tournament. That should be some pretty cool matches we're going to get to down the line. This is when Punk leaves the commentary table, goes down, and then I guess they were going to plan to do some sort of face-to-face with what kind of left off last week with Hangman. Mm. But Hangman has COVID, so he wasn't here tonight. So Punk just says, hey, I'm going to make this quick. Win, lose, or draw, Hangman, me and you. We're going to get in a fight, and I'm going to fight until the wheels break off. And Hangman versus CM Punk is the main event of Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
Take my money, please. Sounds great.
I think you strap Punk, don't you?
I do. I would.
Yeah, looking forward to it. It's a shame Hangman's missing, because there was a tweet like, Hangman's missing this week, but it's okay because he's a world champion and he's always missing.
Yeah.
I really hope we get a decent... I think on paper, yeah, the match sells itself. But Hangman desperately needs an interesting actual feud. And I'd love to see some good back and forth between these two.
There will be. Because
I think Hangman's an underrated promo. I think he's good on the mic.
100%.
But just these feuds have been lackluster. I'd say matches have been good, but the feuds have been lackluster since he's been
the stories of this. Yeah. He's just been beating guys that week. I mean, the Danielson stuff, but since then, like again, all the matches have been good. Even the Cole match a few weeks ago, like it's good, but I think Punk is the one to bring that.
I hope so.
I think that it will make for a good story, and the face to face will be good. Like whether it's, you know, whether he's okay next week or whatnot, but yeah, I'm super stoked for this match. The story sounds like it already, in a weird way, it's like, where would you go? Like, we don't know any ties between the two guys. Like, there's nothing there. So there must be something that they're cooking up that they have some ideas
for. Yeah, interesting, because it's obviously going to be babyface versus a babyface.
People are going to turn on Hangman?
People are going to turn on Hangman, yeah. And that's why I think it's also more important that this has a good build, because you don't want this guy to feel damaged after this title reign. Because once he's lost it, he's not going to be near that title picture again for a long time. So you want to try and have him be an interesting character. We're kind of, the cowboy shit might have ran its course a little bit now. Like, you can't just ride that wave.
Right.
Especially if he's losing his title. You need to give this guy a bit of an edge, make him interesting.
I mean, the edge,
he's capable of it.
The edge came with the Danielson stuff for me. Like, that he showed, like, oh, okay, like you came out for sure. But the stories that he's been put into haven't been that exciting, because he had some of the best stories this past year.
Even the Dark Order being dropped, I think, to be with, I don't find him with like Christian and Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy as interesting as him with the Dark Order.
Right.
But I think that's, and I feel that seems a little unresolved as well. His Dark Order. Story.
They'll go back to it eventually, yeah, for sure. But I, you know, look, I love Hangman. But this version of Punk is my favorite version of Punk. It's the most captivating. Yeah. All the feuds, all the stories, everything he does kind of works and makes sense. And I think it would be kind of people to be like, oh, look, AEW's giving the title to the older, the legend here. But it's like, this guy isn't like a part-timer. This guy's wrestling every week. This guy's on, like, he's doing shit every week, every show. So I don't feel that way. I don't feel like that would be the case.
It's only going to be people that don't watch the show that say
100%.
Who cares?
Like, but Punk winning makes that, there's so many other things that you could go to from there. Like, so you could do, like I said, All Out could be Punk Kenny, you know, like there's different.
I think eventually
MJF needs to be the one
again. And that's probably who takes the title off him down the line.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it will make the title feel more special than it has for a while, because Punk feels like the main character on this show every week.
I mean, he is.
Yeah.
Most paid, biggest paid
and
guy.
And therefore, why wouldn't you have him as the title?
Yeah, for sure. Well, we get a video for Scorpio Sky. He's cutting a promo for his match later tonight. I love Scorpio Sky, but I don't believe this character. He's already now changed babyface, and he wants us to, like, feel for it. It's like a few weeks ago you were calling people ugly and fat and shit. Now you're like, I'm going to win this for... No, I don't care, bro. The wrestling better hit, though. We get Christian Cage backstage with Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus. And Christian's like mad. He's like, you guys lost. But that was a teachable moment.
Yeah.
He loves Andre Chase, clearly. Big Andre Chase fan.
This is the first... Cage. Yeah, massive. Why wouldn't you be? Yeah, this is the first little tease. Because he was like, yeah, you're a loser.
You're a loser.
But we can learn from losing and sort of picked it up. But you're like, all right, that's a bit dickish. So starting to sprinkle it. I want this sooner rather than later now, the Christian Jungle Boy thing.
For sure.
I feel it really cooled off. Christian's just cooled off. He's just chilling. I need him to concerto Jungle Boy.
Yeah, and then it starts the whole...
And get a feud.
Yeah, that's all out, I guess?
Double Nothing seems a little soon, doesn't it, maybe? Yeah. So, yeah.
Plus, the titles need to be defended. Unless Christian finds a partner to beat them. But that, like, Edge is busy. I don't know who he would have. We have MJF, who's out there in the skybox, of course, with Sean Spears, and he's going to watch the match. Wardlow is going to face Archer. This was two big meaty men slapping meat, big men fighting, big lads wrestling. Archer gets some spots in, like he does that moonsault off the top rope, which is very still impressive considering how big this guy is. He hits a powerbomb of his own on Wardlow, but doesn't get him down. He goes for the black, what is it? Black, everybody dies? What is it?
The end of death.
The blackout. And Wardlow eventually gets out of it. The crowd are hyped for the powerbomb symphony, and Wardlow hits the powerbomb and eventually beats him, but then gets handcuffs. This one, the match itself was better than the match last week. It actually had some cool stuff in it. But I think we need something a bit more interesting with the MJF Wardlow thing. Like Wardlow needs to get beat up by MJF badly.
It's been this for a few weeks now.
Yeah,
I enjoy the presentation of him like coming out in handcuffs with no music and then taking the cuffs off and after the match being put on. Yeah. I guess you do need that a little bit. I think it needs to move to the next level now. I think they're doing a great job with this though. I am enjoying it.
I mean, that's the match at Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
You would assume MJF versus Wardlow. And if Wardlow wins, he what? Gets
an AEW contract.
Yeah. Tony will sign him. He comes out, signs him. I didn't mind this match at all. And it continues the story. I think I need to see the visual of finally MJF, like just getting Wardlow in the handcuffs, chair shots or whatever, like beating him up, and like that's they're gonna get the heat so much on him there for sure. The Jericho Appreciation Society, they have a face to face, and there's no violence allowed. Tony Khan says if anyone strikes anyone, they'll be fired. Oof. From AEW. I love how the Jericho Appreciation Society calls the crowd the AEW Galaxy, like the WWE universe. Yeah. He says that they want an apology from Eddie and Proud and Powerful. So when they come out, Eddie and Ortiz and Santana, they're fired up and they say, oh, we have it right here. And instead give him the middle finger. And then Ortiz does it like they can't find what they're looking for. And then, oh no, it's just another middle finger. Garcia says, oh, you guys are real funny, huh? Garcia in the Kangol hat, untouchable right now. This guy's god tier. Garcia in the Kangol hat and wife beater just says, you guys are so funny and think you're so tough, huh? You're tough with your threats. And Eddie Kingston, you with your perfectly done eyebrows. How hood are you for real? I got a huge pop from that line. Because, you know, Eddie always got like the lines
in them. He shaves a line in it and stuff, doesn't he?
So they're not allowed to hit him. And this is when like Eddie's like, Jericho, I'm gonna destroy you. I'm going to kill you. It's like the streets. I'm going to take you out, and you don't know nothing about someone getting taken out. And that's what we're going to do to you when we get the opportunity. But yeah,
I'm not too into this feud, to be honest. I think it peaked with the singles match, Jericho Eddie.
Yeah. Which was awesome.
I think it's the thing with Santana and Ortiz where they keep on teasing that these guys are going to move into the title picture. And then they don't, and they tit around with Jericho. And that was the case when they were with the Inner Circle, and now there's no Inner Circle. They're still titting around with Jericho.
Yeah.
And I kind of want a bit better for these guys. I think the JAS is great for Garcia for finding a bit of a voice and a personality. Eventually, you're going to break it off where he wants to be the wrestler and leaves all this, but I think he'll come out of it being better and being like a better promo and have more of a character.
He already has this character. This character where he looks and does the like the facial reactions, like facts. When the other guys are talking, he's like always like movements and stuff. He's already got the character.
Because for a lot of people, like for us, we love good wrestling. That isn't it for a lot of people. Yeah. And I think you look at this guy who's a great technical wrestler, but might get like Dean Malenko vibes.
Right.
But some people look at a Dean Malenko and just go, it's a boring short guy in black trunks. Cool.
Right.
Like, what do I get into with that? So I think it is good for Garcia, this thing, but I'm not overly into the feud.
No, I'm not super into it. But again, it feels like this whole pet project for this. And it helps get PNP and Eddie over eventually because I think they would get the win. But yeah, I'm sure we'll get this match in the future. I mean, they had later on Eddie's and they're attacked.
Mm.
So it's like they attacked them anyways after the fact. Nah. We have our next match, which is a rematch of a rematch of a rematch in this feud.
This is number 5?
Is it? I thought it was like 7.
I think it's 5.
Serena Deeb versus Hikaru Shida in a Philly street fight, meaning it's going to be all sorts of violence in this match. Serena attacks Shida and the knee, and you know the history of the knee here with her being injured and being a lot of the attacks Serena put on Shida were always to the knee. There's a crazy looking knee breaker to a standing chair, which looked nasty. Shida comes back though. There's a falcon arrow off the top rope, which just sandbags Serena. It looked great though. Then there's a detox to the chair, which is like Serena's like neutralizer.
Yeah.
Which looked cool. Eventually though, she gets Shida in the single leg crab and Shida just was put through so much that she has to tap out. So Deeb wins it.
Yeah, I really liked these two and I've liked their feud. I didn't think this was a bad match, but I don't think it lived up to some of the other ones. I think it was either the first or the second one. I think maybe the second match was really, really strong.
Yeah.
And if this is the blow-off, which it should be after 5.
Yeah,
it is. I think it was a little underwhelming for me. I think also when we've seen in AEW, when you say street fight, we've seen like
people's eyes,
fire, blood, barbed wire, all of that. I thought what they did with the chair was kind of cool, but it was
a kendo stick
really have that
chair,
big bloody blow off. It was a kendo stick and a chair. So yeah. I was slightly disappointed, but that wasn't to say it was a bad match, but I just thought it was a little bland compared to their other stuff.
Yeah, I didn't hate it whatsoever. There was a lot of cool stuff in it for sure, but it didn't get to like that maybe that next level that I thought I was thinking it would go to. I love the feud and I definitely still think that I can't remember if it was the first or second match that really was something special. But this was good. But yeah, we get House of Black. Well, sorry, I forgot to mention that. I think we said if Serena should win this match, she's the obvious opponent.
Contender for Thunder Rosa.
At Double or Nothing. And then it shows Thunder Rosa awkwardly watching TV in the back, as wrestlers do.
See, that's a match that interests me.
Yeah.
I think that could be really good for both of them.
Thunder versus Deep.
Yeah.
Yeah, book it. Well, they clearly are. House of Black, they come out and they have a sacrifice. It's Fuego del Sol, and he's murdered. He's dead. He's just laying there in a spotlight, and they're about to unmask him when they're interrupted, and it's Alex Abrahantes. He's in the ring in his cloak, so you can't see him, and he's talking like House of Black. So they go into the ring. They're in the ring with him. When out comes Penta on the entrance ramp, and he's ready for a fight. I loved whatever he was wearing. It was pretty swag. And then out comes Pac as well. The crowd's getting pretty hyped for this, actually. They're like, oh shit, Pac's here. And then I think everyone kind of figured out what was happening. Alex Abrahantes walks out, and that's when it took the Dark Order? Who are these guys? Spooky Tattoo Men?
Spooky Tattoo Men, yeah.
The House of Black House took of Black. Way too long to realize that, wait, if that's Alex, then who's in the ring with us? And when they turn around, the cloak is thrown off. It's Rey Fenix. It's a brawl.
With a shovel.
With a shovel. He swings for someone's head.
Oh,
boy. But then, they chase off the House of Black, and the Death Triangle are back together. So Alex Abrahantes basically said in this promo that all this shit with the cloak and the Oscura was all just a ploy to get to this moment. So I think they're dropping that completely.
They never really did anything with it.
He said it was just a trick.
The entrance.
Yeah. I don't know, man. That's what he said.
What do you mean all a trick?
He was all a trick.
He lost every match as Oscuro.
And then here, Rey Fenix is... I don't know. Rey Fenix is back.
Cool.
That's
all I care about. Yeah. This match will be good. This trios match.
This match is awesome. Insane. I mean, please book Rey Fenix versus Buddy Matthews next week.
Yeah.
Holy, that sounds crazy. But the six-man tag...
Against any of them, like Brody just throwing him around would be cool.
All six of these guys.
Ray's been missed. I think that actually him coming back, like a break is always a good thing, kind of spices this act up a bit. I think the match will be fun. I haven't been into the Oscuro thing.
No.
And haven't been into the spooky tattoo men, but I think when it comes to the actual match, it'll be good.
It's going to turn around now. It's all going up. Double or Nothing, six-man tag. Or just next week. But I think you could stretch that for Double or Nothing. The spooky tattoo men, they were on the pre-show before, and everyone was like, yo, that match was crazy.
Great. With Redbeard?
Yeah. So we could be in for something pretty special. That sounds like some crazy, like, PWG multi-man thing with all these guys. Yeah. Like, nuts. The Undisputed Elite. They come down to the ring because they have a matchup here. This means it's Adam Cole, baby, and Red Dragon, and the Young Bucks. And they have new Undisputed Elite t-shirts.
They're not the best, are they?
No. It just says Elite. It's like a halo with red... like the video game font or something.
Find it.
Undisputed Elite. The Young Bucks are not wearing the shirt, though.
No.
At first, yes.
And they didn't all come out together. It was Yui and then the Bucks.
Separate entrances, yes. So the Undisputed Elite are going up against the team of Brock Anderson, Shoddy Lee, and the Varsity Blondes?
Yes.
Oh, and sorry, who's the other guy? Oh, no.
Brock Anderson, Lee Johnson, Varsity Blondes, and...
Not Julia.
Dante Martin.
Dante Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Dante Martin is getting thrown around quite a lot in this match. This had some fun stuff with some of the guys trying to get some offense in, but this was pretty much the Undisputed Elite hitting all their moves and kind of getting on the same page with each other.
With a four-man... BT trigger to finish it, followed by the boom.
Yeah, so they hit the move, and then they still hold the guy there, and then allows Cole to hit the
move. I feel like you'd just all crack knees, wouldn't you?
To hit that move?
Yeah.
Nah, you would still... I think you would still hurt. They need to do it like somehow at the same time when Cole runs and hits the move.
They need to hit it, so when they've pulled away, that's when Cole... Rather than they hit it and then prop him up and then Cole runs.
Yeah.
They need slicker timing with it.
I don't know, because they want to make it look realistic and stuff. Because irked me all the time. Shawn Michaels would sweet chin music people all the time for years. Win a million matches with it. Win his titles with it. Sweet chin music. But for whatever reason, whenever he tags with Triple H, he super kicks someone. Sweet chin music's them. They go, oh, I'm fucked up. I better turn around. And then, oh, I'm getting pedigreed. It's like the little thing. So maybe
But then that's one of the best moments at Mania. The one, that one's huge.
That one's fine. Yeah, that one's fine.
I know what you mean. Yeah. Well, it's like Cena's comeback. Just stay down. Why are you getting up after the shoulder?
Why are you trying to punch him? You know he does it.
Don't go for the clothesline. He's going to pick you up.
So maybe that's why they do it this way. It's like the move kills the guy anyways. Undisputed Elite win, and then afterwards they give the Young Bucks the new T-shirt, and then the Bucks are like, yeah, all right, we'll put it on. And then they do their huge group mega pose. It's like a video game thing. It's like the Power Rangers posing here with all their poses and everything. But the Undisputed Elite are here. They are a thing. I just really hate that shirt, man.
Yeah, it's not nice.
I love this company. I want to give them my money, but I don't like their shirts.
It looks like the... what was the show they did in Miami called?
Miami Vice.
It's got like a Miami kind
NCIS,
of font,
Miami.
But in red.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't like
just
it.
Just black t-shirts.
Look, I'm always for black t-shirts, but I just, some of the logos that have been designed in some of the AEW stuff lately, I don't think I would buy. Like the Bullet Club. What's the other one? The Bullet, the fuck.
The Gun Club.
The Gun Club. No. The Blackpool Combat Club. Skip over their match? I think I did.
Yeah, they killed Nick Comoroto. And
I totally skipped over that match. Yeah.
We can.
Like I love that group is so cool, but then they're like their logos and gear. I'm like, yeah, it doesn't look that cool.
I like the hoodie.
Yeah, it's okay. This Undisputed Elite shirt, also, I think it's supposed to be.
I get the feeling with Brian and Mox that they don't care about merch either.
Sure, but Mox always wears it. Yeah. So I mean, the Undisputed Elite shirt is kind of really not that. Like, I'm no design expert, but I think you could get something a little bit more funky, a little bit more spruced up, eye-catching.
Well, now and then, they'll have a new one every week anyway.
They do anyways. This is true. But yeah, Undisputed Elite is here. What do you think, what's the purpose of this whole Undisputed Elite thing on the show? To show that this is all a unit? I imagine we're getting some sort of, multi-man match?
Yeah, well, we do have the five of them team at the pay-per-view.
But against who? Like, you're already doing the New Japan Forbidden Door, so do you do it against the... Because I think you could do the Bullet Club versus Undisputed Elite.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if that's at that pay-per-view.
I don't know, five people you could...
Yeah.
Could you do, I don't know what 10...
Yeah, I don't know.
There are guys there. There's
Dark Order.
Yeah.
Combat Club... Maybe that's too soon.
Too soon. Dark Order, you could... I mean, they weren't on the show at all this week, were they?
No. They're not on the show lately.
Yeah, it's weird.
But yeah, Super Elite win that match. Sorry, I totally skipped over that.
There wasn't much talk about
it. It was QT Marshall. Anthony Ogogo was ringside, though.
Oh, nice.
He's back. Yeah. I do love those guys. Seeing them kick the shit out of people is still pretty fun. And seeing, actually, the crowd I thought were kind of iffy this week, but they were huge on Wheeler Yuta. So,
yes,
it's working.
It's working with him.
Whatever 100%. They're doing, is working with this guy. So, super into that as well. And then we see, I mentioned Eddie Kingston gets attacked. They actually throw a fireball in Eddie Kingston's face.
Oh, yeah.
And then drive off.
Burning those perfect eyebrows.
Yeah. That's, yeah, true.
Again, they're even their attacks are sports entertainment.
Yeah, 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 magic.
Yeah.
What else would you have them do? What other WWE tropes would you...
You got to run into a car, don't you?
They need to have a wedding.
Yeah.
someone needs to get hit by a car. Fuck, WWE, yeah, they always do that kind of shit. But fireball in the eye, that's so funny. Jericho looks like he's a magician with the sparkly jackets the time.
You've got Daddy Magic. Even Cool Hand Ange sounds like a poker player.
Yeah, oh my God, so good. So we go to our main event, which is the TNT title match, a ladder match. Sammy Guevara defending against Scorpio Sky. It's the big rematch here. There was some pretty crazy stuff early in the match going back and forth with just one ladder that they're using here. At one point, Sammy's on top, and then, of course, he does the I'm crazy, so loco. Does a Phoenix splash off the ladder.
To nothing.
To no one.
He just hit the mat.
He hit the mat, but it's like Scorpio was
crazy Sammy.
He's standing and was supposed to take this move. I don't know why. It just made me go, but why?
But why? Yeah.
It looked nuts, like you're spinning and stuff. So then while everyone was going, wow, that kind of bombed, that move kind of sucked, they totally redeemed themselves literally moments later because Scorpio goes up top eventually. He goes to get the title. And then in the exact same setup from the Sammy and Cody ladder match where Sammy does the double jump into the flying cutter on Cody Rhodes. And this was the first time on commentary that I think I've heard Cody Rhodes be mentioned in AEW for quite a while. Sammy goes to do the same spot on Scorpio, but in midair after doing the double ladder jump, Scorpio scouts it and counters it with his own cutter.
Yeah.
Off the top of the ladder.
Tall ladder.
This was incredible.
Yeah, this looked great.
This is insane. I mean, the Sammy spot of him doing it to Cody, I'm not sick of watching.
There's definitely going to be a top 10 cutters of the year at the end of this year because there's been some nuts.
Yeah, this was crazy. This was like catching him while he's going to do it. But again, after jumping off the top of the ladder, fucking nuts, man. This was insane. I could not get over this. I've watched it quite a few times. But I said after the Sammy match, that was one of the coolest ladder spots ever, and then Sammy and Scorpio literally upped it, and the callback is just so good. Then both of them are still not over, and they're fighting, trying to get the ladder and the title. There's a barbed wire ladder that's brought out. Sammy,
in Philly.
Yeah, Sammy hits him with the Spanish fly onto that, which was pretty crazy. Eventually, Dan Lambert and Ty are in there, and she kicks him in the balls.
Yep.
And then Paige Van Zandt runs out, and they're fighting. Everybody's fighting. Eventually, Sammy gets thrown off the ladder, and he does some pretty impressive, like a hope.
He gets thrown off first onto the barbed wire ladder. Doesn't sell it
No sell Sammy.
Just to get this, like, springboard onto the ladder to get knocked off again.
Yeah.
Which felt a bit backwards.
Yeah.
Like, if you really wanted to do that springboard spot, you could have done that earlier. But it should have ended with him being pushed onto the barbed wire ladder.
Yeah, probably.
But
yeah,
nitpicking.
But. Yeah, honestly, like, the whole... This felt like some sports entertainment stuff. Because, like, front to back, you had... It's a ladder match. You have crazy stuff in it. You got the people interjecting here. You got Ty. You got Paige Van Zandt. You got Dan Lambert. But I was definitely, like, glued to the TV. I was watching all of this. I mean, the guy jumped off the ladder, like, three times. Mm-hmm. I was watching it. Was it the best ladder match ever? Definitely not, but...
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I do think Sammy sometimes does lack a bit of the psychology.
Right.
Like that Phoenix splash to nothing and stuff. Like, it's cool, but just try and marry it all together a bit better.
Yeah.
But other than that, I'm actually happy they've put it back on Scorpio. I'd like to see him, this become, you know, the sort of TV title again. Have him defend. Frankie Kazarian comes out at the end and they shake hands. So that's next week, I think. Which should be cool. Obviously, a lot of history there between those two. And I think now Sky in that babyface role should allow him to have better matches and really show off
what
he can do.
Yeah.
Because the first run was nothing. And I would eventually maybe see a feud with Ethan Page.
True. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. The moment when Kaz came in and, like, they did the, like, the respect thing, because he said, like, you would get a shot. Ethan Page there was a look.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
Well, Ethan Page and Dan Lambert are just natural heels, whereas I don't necessarily think Scorpio Sky is.
Yeah. True. Yeah. So you could break them up, I guess, for sure. I think going in this direction opens it up for so many different things with this title. Sammy, I guess, doesn't really need it at this point. I think it would have been good with Sammy to have it and on the run. I thought that's what the point. Why piggyback it? Why switch it back again? Right? Like, but
well, once you solidify this heel thing, you could have.
Yeah.
But I do think in the long run it's better. I don't think Sammy needs it. He can annoy other people now.
Yeah, put him in a big feud with someone. He's got Tay and Ty. So I like Sammy Guevara and the character that because you're kissing on screen like. We hate you. So it's working. So, like, hey, why not do it? Like, ease into it for sure. But overall, I enjoyed Dynamite, actually. It always has, like, some crazy stuff that I go, what was that? What's going on? Hmm. Excalibur was way slower in talking.
They took it in turns as well.
Yeah,
Last week, he was like, guys. JR took a couple of matches. Tony took a couple of matches.
When half the, like, viewing audience didn't even realize they announced matches last week because of how fast he was reading, it's like, okay, we need to, like...
It's especially, I mean, it was different watching it at, like, a normal time over here. But when it's right at the end, I've already done the night before with NXT. It's 2:52 in the morning.
Ugh.
And Excalibur's just going, next week we... It's...
Side effects
pure delirium.
Me.
Like, you're just like, what is going on?
Side effects me included. Don't watch AEW if
you're allergic to AEW.
Well, that was Dynamite. That was NXT. We talked about two shows of wrestling. This feels like we've been talking for hours.
We have been talking for hours.
Guys, thanks for listening to us talk about some wrestling. And we'll be doing it. Yeah.
We miss you all.
We do. I mean, we've still been doing shows and stuff. And then, of course, we have our Patreon. You can check out all the other podcasts we have up on there. We should probably work on the May schedule and put that out soon.
We'll do that tomorrow.
And, let us know what you think. Always love nice reviews on Apple Podcasts. Follow, subscribe, whatever podcast app you're using. We'll be back on Twitch. We have YouTube as well. Go follow us on all the stuff at Up Next Podcast on Twitter. And of course, the Facebook page, which could lead you to the Facebook group, which is pretty fun and pretty awesome as well there. So go join all the fun stuff.
Do it. Yeah. Immediately.
Right now.
Right now, this second.
Stop what you're
doing. Stop everything you're doing.
Yeah.
And do that.
Yeah. Go do that. I myself, Brayden Harrington, you can find me. I'm on Twitter and I'm on Instagram. I'm at the Bray D.
And I am at Davey Portman.
Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And I hope Eddie Kingston's eyebrows are okay.
Ahoy!